In Philippians 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes to Christian people, and he says these words, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Paul said, don't worry, don't be anxious, but do pray. Ask God to help. Ask God to intervene. Now, he's talking especially here about times of trial, times of hardship. And at such times, we usually have one thing on our mind when we pray to God, and that is, help me, save me, forgive me, hear me, deliver me, put an end to this grief and this burden that I'm bearing. But Paul tells us to do something else that may not come so naturally, something you may not think of because your mind is in turmoil and your heart is heavy with pain and fear. Paul said, don't worry, but do pray, and then he said, give thanks. Now, that is Paul's three-part approach to dealing with things that can worry us. Don't worry, do pray, and do remember to give thanks. How can we do this? How can you be in a grateful frame of mind when there seems to be little to be thankful for? For instance, when you've lost a loved one, when you've had a mate to leave, when you've been diagnosed with a terrible illness, when you have kids on drugs, or when you've lost everything that you have, it may not be easy to go to God in prayer and to thank God for what you have. But people in Bible times had these problems too, and they had to learn to adjust and to cope. In life, but especially in the Lord, they had to learn to cope with these things. How were they thankful? While they had so much trouble that they did not want and did not choose in life. And how can we learn to be thankful? It is something that we have to learn. We have to get into the habit of thanking God, even when we don't feel like it, even when we're not in the frame of mind where we're really looking at the blessings and the advantages that we have in life. Now, here are some suggestions. Here are some things that we can do to make giving thanks to God an attitude and a habit of mind, like Paul says. Now, remember the context here. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry, but do pray. Let your request be made known to God, but don't just ask God to help you. When you're worried or when you're tempted to worry, ask Him, but also give thanks. Here are some things that can help us to be in that frame of mind. Remember, first of all, that it could be worse. In John chapter 5, verse 14, after Jesus healed a crippled man, he said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Whatever the situation is, it can usually be worse. And oftentimes, it can be much worse than the situation that you're in. In Jeremiah chapter 12, Jeremiah was getting weary of the persecution that he had endured. He was getting tired of the hardship and the persecution and the criticism. And the Bible says that he was frustrated because evil people seemed to be getting away with what they were doing, and it seemed like that the wicked people were prospering. And so God, as he answers Jeremiah, assures him that even though he has suffered, he needs to, as we would say, be a man about it, because he's going to face even harder things than these. God told Jeremiah, if you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how shall you contend with the horses? That's just God's way of saying, you need to be a man about this and realize that not only can it be worse, but it will get worse. And that helps us to put things in perspective many times. So oftentimes what we need to do is just to take our minds off of ourselves and look at other people. If you feel bad, if you're sick, if you have a health problem, just look around. Listen to other people. Think about others. And when you do, oftentimes your problem will fade into the background. If you have family problems, marriage trouble, problems with kids or grandkids, look at other families. Look at what they're going through. This is such a simple thing to do. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in our problems and in our situation that we forget other people around us. And we forget that other people have it much worse than we do. And Christian people can be guilty of that. Sometimes Christian people get so obsessed with the heartache that they're feeling and the problems that they're experiencing that they go to church services and sit in the pew with people that have it far worse than they do, and they don't even consider the fact that the people that they're sitting around in front of them, behind them, and to the sides of them have it far worse than they do. Oftentimes, all we need to do is to open our eyes and ears to people around us, and our own problems will, as we said, fade into the background. No matter what the burden is that we bear in life, all we have to do is to compare to other people, and oftentimes that helps to lighten that burden. If you're having trouble at work, if you're having money struggles and money worries, if you're having church problems, just compare to other problems that you're aware of. And as we look at trouble in our nation, when we think about our country and where we've been, where we are, and the fear of where we're going because things have changed so much, and we're so concerned about the direction that we're going in right now, sometimes it's good to think about other countries. And this is easy to do when you take a trip to a foreign nation and you see the condition of those countries. And then you come back, you'll begin to appreciate even more the situation that we're in, although it's not ideal, and although things are getting worse, still, we're in better shape than most people in the world. When you think about other countries and the war that they have, the poverty that they experience, the disease, the idolatry, the persecution, the prostitution, the drugs, and many other things that we don't have to the level that these other countries do, then this helps us to be thankful in life. Obviously, we have many things to be concerned about, and I'm certainly not trying to minimize the problems that we face. But sometimes what we need to do is to put it into a broader perspective by thinking about the rest of the world. And, of course, you don't have to visit a foreign nation. You don't have to watch TV. If you just listen to one person that you know and listen carefully, you'll see that you have plenty to be thankful for. And, of course, when you think about the fact that it could be worse than the situation that you have, and that ought to help us to be thankful, read your Bible, because there were many people in the Bible that had it far worse than you and I have. When we read the book of Job, all we have to do is to read the first two chapters in that book to see that this man lost everything that he had. He lost his 10 children. He lost his health. He lost the support of friends and his wife. And what we find throughout that book is that Job is suffering miserably. And yet he endured. Job had it far worse than any of us. Or we can look at the life of Paul and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28, where Paul talked about all the sufferings that he had endured for the cause of Christ, how that he was beaten with rods, imprisoned, stoned, suffered shipwreck, and had all these perils that he experienced. And when we compare our situation to that of the Apostle Paul, we have a lot to be thankful for. And of course, when we look at Jesus, the Bible says, "Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. So all we have to do is to compare our situation to the experiences and the sufferings of other people, and it helps us to appreciate where we're at and helps us to be thankful. But we sometimes need to make another comparison, and that is we need to compare what we're going through now with what we've been through in the past. And when we do, we'll oftentimes find that it has been worse in our lives. We can truly say at times that we have been through worse situations. That's not always the case, but oftentimes if we look back in our life, We can see that we've made it through many trials, that God expects us to learn from those trials and expects us to trust Him. So we need to get more into this habit of thinking. When times are hard, when we're in adversity, we need to look back at our lives and say, well, I've been through worse than this. And that is a good habit of mind. As you look back at the Old Testament, it's obvious that many of the Israelites never seemed to learn that lesson. After all that they had seen, after all of the blessings that God had done for them, all the miracles that God had done for them, and after all the hard times that they had been through by the grace of God, they still doubted, they still complained, and they still murmured. How sad. Even the apostles failed to consider the miracles that Jesus did. In Mark chapter 6, verse 52, they considered not the miracle of the loaves because their heart was hardened. We don't need to be hard in heart. We need to be humble before God and remember all that we've been through and all that others are going through. But here's the second thing that we need to do. We need to count our blessings. We need to make up our minds and choose to consider the good things that we have. This takes effort, and we need to make a list, at least in our mind, of the things that God gives to us every single day. The physical blessings. God gives to all life and breath and all things. Acts 17, verse 25. But the spiritual blessings are the things that you can always, under any circumstance, be thankful for, especially salvation. The peace that we have from a guilty conscience, the promise of eternal life in heaven, these are things that we can always appreciate and be thankful for. And then, of course, worshiping God, fellowship with the brethren, the joy of learning the Bible, the thrill of seeing lost souls saved, and so many other spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. We need to be thankful for them. And Paul, in his life, was able to see things to be thankful for even under adverse situations. Now remember, back in chapter 1 of this book, that Paul talked about the fact that he was a prisoner of the Roman government. But, he said, I see some good coming out of that. I see people being converted, and I see preachers becoming more courageous to preach the gospel, even though some of them don't have the right attitude. So Paul was able to look at the bigger picture. And that's why Paul oftentimes encouraged people by telling them things like this. Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks. Our world is an ungrateful world. And when we look at the Bible, we find that ingratitude is listed alongside of sins that people usually look at as reprehensible and heinous. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul lists some vices that the world was guilty of in his time, and among those things that he mentions is ingratitude, people being unthankful. The same thing happens in Romans chapter 1. You find that people were unthankful, and as a matter of fact, that started the downhill slide into the moral apostasy that Paul describes in Romans chapter 1. He ends up in that chapter talking about everything from homosexuality to idolatry to murder. But it all began in verse 21 when Paul said, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Romans 1, verse 21. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, then, instead of worrying, pray. And as you pray to God in the midst of that tribulation, be sure that you give thanks to God for what you have.